Happy Resurrection Sunday. What a joy to see you here today. How about that worship this morning? Let's praise the Lord for that. Amen. Thank you, Connor and Van. Welcome to everyone, especially if you're a guest. I know we have many guests today. We're so glad that you are with us today. Take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 20. The Gospel of John, chapter 20. Now, if you're new to the Bible has an Old Testament and a New Testament. The Gospel of John is the fourth book in the New Testament. And if by chance you don't have a Bible or a Bible app on your phone, we do have Bibles in the seat racks. Grab one of those. It's page 1077. Now look this up and turn to page 1077 in the church Bible. That may not work with your Bible. And let me just say this. If you don't have a Bible, let that be our gift to you. You take that Bible home with you. There's nothing that will change your life more than just opening up the Bible and reading it. Now, going back centuries through church history, there has been a responsive saying that the people of God have said on Easter Sunday. And the worship leader says, "He is risen," and the congregation says, there you go. So we're going to say that three times after we read the scripture. Again, we're going to read this morning, John 20. I'll begin in verse 11, read down through verse 18. And we have a rhythm or a habit here that when we read the Bible on Sunday morning, we stand. So I'll ask if you would join me by standing in honor of the reading of God's word. I'll begin John 20, verse 11. You follow along. And this is the word of God. "But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head, one at the feet. They said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said to them, 'They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.' Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?' Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned and said to him in Aramaic, 'Rabboni,' which means teacher. Jesus said to her, 'Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.' Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, 'I have seen the Lord,' and that he had said these things to her." He is risen. He is risen. He is risen. Amen. Pray with me. Exalted and resurrected Jesus, with hearts full and hands raised, we shout with joy, "He is risen. He is risen indeed. The tomb is empty, death is defeated, and Satan is crushed. Oh, the wonder, the glory, the grace of it all. Jesus, your resurrection changes everything. Father, I pray that just as you opened the tomb, that today you would open hearts. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen." You may be seated. The title of the message is Resurrection Grace. The Holy Spirit inspired John to write these words to show us the gospel of grace found in Jesus Christ. The Bible points us to the healing grace of Jesus, the saving grace, the sustaining grace, the life-giving grace of Jesus. Grace washes you clean and restores you. Grace says to everyone who is in Christ, because God is sovereign and God is loving, you will be all right. God is with you in Jesus. Grace is God saying at the cross, I make all things new. All things. Pastor Clint Presley has said this, the worst thing that could happen to you has already happened to Jesus on the cross when he died in the place of sinners. This is the gospel of grace. The gospel of grace must be spoken into our anxious, worried, and discouraged hearts. The gospel of grace must be breathed on our loneliness and our hurt and the deep, listen, the deep pain in our souls. The gospel of grace must be spoken over our doubt-filled and guilt-ridden hearts. Listen, grace is the ground we stand on, it is the air we breathe, and it is the rock solid hope that in Christ God is near. I want to show you from this passage, the grace of God is on full display in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, I have 4 points, 4 truths that will help unpack that thought and help us understand this wonderful passage. I love this passage. I love this passage because it shows Jesus appearing to a mostly forgotten woman. I love this passage because it is filled with joy and wonder and hope that is birthed out of deep grief. This passage shows us the graciousness of God, the goodness of God, and the glory of God. Jesus is risen from the dead, and he chooses to appear to one unlikely lady. Let me show you just for a few minutes that God's grace is on full display in the resurrection of Jesus. Here's 4 points. If you're a note taker, here's point number one. God's grace overcomes everything. Everything. Let's understand the context. So let's go back to chapter 20, verse 1. Now there are 3 key figures in verses 1 through 10 of John 20. You have Peter, John, and then Mary Magdalene, or Mary of Magdala. Jesus was crucified on Friday. Then, as our Jewish friends call it, the Shabbat. The Sabbath was on Saturday. And then John chapter 20, verse 1 begins with Sunday morning. We read the first day of the week. Mary Magdalene comes to the tomb while it is early and it is still dark. The other Gospels tell us there were other women that came. So we know there were at least 3 other women. Now look in verse 2. Look in verse 2. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. That's referring to John, who wrote this gospel, this particular book. So the stone has been rolled away. Mary then runs back to the disciples. When she runs back, she finds Peter and John, and they run to the tomb. Now look in verse 4. Verse 4, both of them were running together, but the other disciple, that's John, outran Peter and reached the tomb first. This just reaffirms it is a man who wrote this book because he wants everyone to know he was faster than Peter. I think Peter was more like a nose tackle middle linebacker. John was a skill position for you coaches, maybe receiver, maybe running back. He outruns Peter to the tomb, and John, who won't say his name, but he wants us to know, I outran Peter. Then we come to verse 6. They're at the tomb. John waits outside the tomb. Not Peter. Remember impulsive Peter? Peter gets there, breathing hard probably, goes right in the tomb. What he finds in verse 7, the grave clothes are lying there. The face cloth is folded up. Folded up. It's almost as if Jesus says, I'm done here. I'm through with this. Either his resurrected body just passed through the cloth, or he folded them. Now, look in verse 8. Then the other disciple, John, who had reached the tomb first, there he is again, he won't let go of it, also went in and he saw and believed. John believes. He remembers what Jesus said. Peter, though, Peter's pondering. Peter's thinking. Then in verse 10, the disciples go back to their homes. That brings us to verse 11. Now, verse 11. First three words, but Mary stood. The word but is a word of contrast. John is contrasting Mary to Peter and John who went back home. Not Mary. Mary lingers at the tomb. What does the Bible say about Mary of Magdala? Well, really, very little. There are a couple things, though. In Luke chapter 8, it tells us that she was one of a group of women healed from evil spirits and infirmities, the Bible says. Specifically, she had 7 demons cast out of her. Some in church history have associated Mary Magdalene with immoral behavior, very immoral behavior, before she met Jesus. John chapter 19 tells us she was at the cross the whole time Jesus died. That's all we know. She's not a prominent figure in the gospel, yet she is the first person that Jesus appears to after his resurrection. As I look at the life of Mary Magdalene, at one time possessed by 7 demons, at a moral past, I am reminded of this. God's grace overcomes everything. I mean everything. God's grace overcomes your sinful past. God's grace overcomes your stained reputation. God's grace overcomes broken families. God's grace overcomes rejection and insecurities. God's grace overcomes your most painful hurt. God's grace overcomes hatred. It overcomes racism. God's grace overcomes addictions. This is the gospel we believe. I mean, all of it. Let me say it this way. This may help. There is no sin so wicked that in Christ, God's grace cannot overcome it. This is the gospel of grace. So let me just right here make it really simple so even a child can understand this. Listen carefully. Jesus lived the righteous life you could not live. Jesus then died on the cross in the place of sinners, and he took on himself God's righteous anger against sin and sinners. When his blood streamed down the cross, atonement was made. Atonement means a payment for sin. So that, listen, your sin debt was paid in full. God then bodily resurrected his son from the dead as his clear announcement that he has vanquished sin and death and Satan one day, and his grace and his power overcomes everything. So that if you will repent of your sins and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, and you will follow him, the Bible says, God will save you out of your sin. God's grace overcomes everything. And I think to that we all say, amen. That's point number one. Point number two, God's grace works while you weep. It works while you weep. Let's go back to the story, verse 11. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. You see it twice, weeping and wept. This is not a silent cry. This is sobbing. This is the same Greek word for weeping that's used in John 11 when Lazarus has died and Jesus arrives and everybody is weeping and mourning. So I need you to enter the story and see Mary of Magdala, understand her past. She is sobbing outside the tomb. She stayed at the cross and watched him die. At the tomb now, she is inconsolable. And this is why. She thinks someone has stolen the body. She thinks someone has taken the body of Jesus. Now, verse 12. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. This is interesting. Jesus was crucified between two thieves. Here, his body used to where it used to lay, it was between now two angels. Look in verse 13. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Because of the darkness, because of her emotional state, she doesn't even understand. She's talking to angels. Look at verse 14. Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. She turns around. Maybe she hears something. Maybe one of the angels in the tomb who sees Jesus is looking over her shoulder. Psst, look out there. But for some reason, she turns around. And then look at the end of verse 14. She doesn't even know that it's Jesus. Maybe her vision's blurred by her tears. Remember her emotional state? It's dark. Maybe Jesus prevented her. Now let me stop right here. And I want to show you something. All four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, describe the timing of when the ladies arrived at the empty tomb. Matthew says toward the dawn. Mark says very early. Luke says at early dawn. But look at what John says. Early while it was still dark. John is the only one that tells us, oh, the sun was coming up, but it was still dark. Now why? In the Gospel of John, the theme of light and darkness is prominent. As a matter of fact, in chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, he says this about Jesus: in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. So listen, for John, Jesus is not just the light of the world. He is the Lord of the darkness. And so when Mary comes to the tomb and it's still dark, there's great symbolism. She is weeping. She is sobbing. She is despondent. You see what he's saying? Jesus is with Mary in the dark. Jesus is with Mary in the darkness, even though she doesn't even know he's there. Some of you today are struggling, you're hurting, and you're wounded. I want you to know Jesus is with you in the darkness. And not only is Jesus with you, he's working So while you are waiting, and maybe you've been weeping, you need to know God is working. God's grace overcomes everything. Number two, God's grace works while you weep. Number three, God's grace is personal and powerful. Look at verse 15 with me. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Mary was looking for what? What happened? What she should have been looking for was a whom. But she doesn't know Jesus is alive just yet. Back to verse 15. Let's keep pressing on it. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Now look, Mary thinks he's the gardener. Now, if we believe every word in here is for a reason, it's interesting she thinks Jesus is the gardener, because he is the gardener. He will one day restore the Garden of Eden to as it was before the curse of sin. If you go to John 15, God is the vine dresser. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. Jesus is the gardener, friends. Understand the fragile state of Mary. Now look in verse 16. Jesus said to her, here it comes, "Mary." He just said her name, Mary. She turned and she said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. It was his voice. It was the calling of her name. The shepherd has called the sheep. And John 10 tells us the sheep know his voice. God's grace is personal and God's grace is powerful. The voice of Jesus is the power to open the blind eyes to see, deaf ears to hear, and dead hearts to life. God speaks and dead men live physically. God speaks and he calls you out of deadness spiritually. Today, God is calling some of you out of your spiritual deadness to him. God's grace overcomes everything. God's grace works while you weep. God's grace is personal and powerful. Point number four, God's grace transforms. Verse 17 now, look at verse 17. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father." Do not cling to me. The very inference is what? She's clinging to him. And I think she's at his feet. I think she's in the dirt. I think she's sobbing. At the feet of Jesus, you do not talk about what you've done. At the feet of Jesus, you do not make excuses for what you haven't done. At the feet of Jesus, you worship. You worship. You worship this King who has lived and died for you. So come with me. See her. See his scars. See her tears. And see the healing that is occurring. And then in verse 17, "For I have not yet ascended to the Father." Jesus simply says, Jesus was on the earth 40 days, then ascended. He says, I haven't ascended yet. I'm going to come back. Let me go. I have some things I need to do. Verse 17, "But go to my brothers and say to them." That's significant. Jesus calls the disciples what? My brothers. "Go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Now, let me show you this. In the Gospel of John, Jesus refers to God as Father 108 times. The Father 71 times. My Father 21 times. Not one time in the Gospel of John has Jesus referred to God as your Father until now. And you see what he's saying. The work of salvation and redemption is complete. He is now your Father. On Friday, he cried out, "It is finished." He was the victor, not the victim. He had won, and Satan was defeated. So, people, do you see? Through the work of Jesus Christ, his righteous life, his redeeming blood, his resurrection, you can have a new relationship with God. Everything has been transformed. One more thing, look in verse 18. Verse 18, Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples. She is the first evangelist. She tells them he is alive. The gospel goes out, but you must respond to it. He freely offers love and forgiveness. This is the story of God's grace, and God's grace is on full display in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.